is January the 3rd, which means we are 3 days into our New Year's resolutions. Of course, some of you didn't make any New Year's resolutions, which means you fall into one of three categories. You're either perfect, or you are complacent, or you are resigned to the status quo, which is, in a word, lazy. The first, I suspect, is not the truth, and the second and the third categories are not good categories. But you're not so far into the new year as to not be able to make some resolutions to improve yourself in body, soul, mind, spirit, attitude, and state of being. But for those of us who have made those resolutions already, we're beginning to feel the gravitational pull to break them. Why? Because we are creatures of habit. And nobody resolves to break a good habit. So the habits we're trying to break are bad habits. And those habits exert a gravitational pull that takes great strength to break. The kind of strength tapped by our Lord Jesus when he prayed the prayer, "Lead us not into temptation." Of course, to pray this prayer is to acknowledge a paradox. We ask God not to lead us into temptation, but we know spiritual growth happens in the face of temptation. That doesn't mean that God lures us into evil. It doesn't mean God pulls us toward destructiveness, but it does mean the universe is so structured as to put our virtue to the proof on a daily basis. Inherent in our freedom is the temptation to use that freedom poorly. Jesus is the best example of this. Jesus prays, "Lead us not into temptation," teaches us to pray, "Lead us not into temptation." And yet the scriptures also say the Spirit led him into the wilderness to be tempted. Our Lord's spiritual growth happened within that paradox. Ours must happen as well. Now, there are some who criticize God for not having programmed us always to choose good. But if that were the case, morality and obedience would lose their meaning. Maybe we would be better off if God had programmed us always to choose broccoli over brownies. But when it comes to the moral sphere, obedience to God would be meaningless if we were programmed to always choose virtue. God desires that which is highest, and obedience that is not commanded, is not governed automatically, is not nearly as high as obedience that is given freely. Freely, out of choice. A teacher watches a kid push another kid down on the playground. And the second kid hops up, fist blazing, ready to retaliate. And then the kid takes a deep breath, lets his fist, just shakes his head at the other guy's foolishness, and goes on about his way. The teacher will condemn the first kid, but commend the second, because that teacher sees that child had a choice and shows maturity. Temptation is only temptation because inherent in our freedom is the potential to choose wrongly or to choose God, to choose good. Paul, that great psychologist, said of himself, the good that I do not want to do, the good that I want to do, I do not do. The evil I do not want to do, that's what I find myself doing. We all feel the tug of temptation. And what is temptation? It is the lure of believing we are self-sufficient. It's the lure of living without God, of believing we do not really need God, using our talents for our aggrandizement. Think about Jesus in the desert. What really is the nature of the temptations that he faced? The tempter was trying to break his dependence upon his Father. What's the difference? What's the difference in turning a few stones into loaves and turning a few fish and loaves to feed 5,000? The difference is one would satisfy one's hunger, one would satisfy the needs of many. What's the difference in throwing yourself off the temple and allowing the Father to rescue you? And commanding Lazarus to rise from the tomb. One aggrandizes the self, the other displays God's resurrection power. The nature of temptation is for us to use our abilities, our blessings, our riches, our talents to do our will, to go our way, to live in the illusion we don't need God. Jesus felt that temptation, but he adhered to the will of the Father and begs us to follow in his footsteps. Lead us not into temptation. God leads us into temptation, but God also provides us the strength to escape it. Corinthians says, God will not allow you to be tempted beyond your strength, but will give you a way to escape it, a strength to endure it. When we pray the prayer of our Lord, lead us not into temptation, we are praying a prayer of humility. Lord, in the midst of a world of bewildering choices, in the midst of the tug of evil, the pull of selfishness, may I choose your will and way. May I depend upon your strength to sustain me. God leads us into temptation to test us, but provides us the strength to endure it. However, let me add that we can help God in accessing that strength by the way we structure our lives. Let's just use a trivial example. Let's say that one of my temptations is to eat less candy bars in 2016. Now, I can approach that one of two ways. I can avoid the aisle at Kroger's and Walmart where they sell the candy bars, just go a different way. Or I can go buy two big boxes of Butterfingers and put them on my refrigerator and look at them every day and resist temptation. Which of those two approaches is more likely to lead to my resolution? Structure makes a difference. A more serious example. I was camping one time on one of my annual river rafting trips, and suddenly a forest ranger shows up and says, "Are you Dr. Richard Kremer?" I said, "Yes, sir." He said, "Some of your friends have been in a car wreck. They need you to go to the hospital." Hopped in the car, drove to the hospital. Some friends from a former church were coming up to meet us to go river rafting. A drunk driver had crossed the road and hit them head on. Miraculously, three of them were uninjured, but the mother was banged up seriously enough to require some hospitalization. And I was tending to her in her hospital in the emergency room, and she said, let's go find the driver who hit us. This is at least his third DUI wreck. And I knew why she said what she said. Because she had been a former substance abuser herself. She knew what it took to structure your life to break that addiction. And she wanted to find that man and say to him, you are not helpless. There is a way to structure your life, to surround you with people, to open yourself up to the power of God. You can break this addiction. You can beat this temptation. But it requires the restructuring of your life. To defeat temptation, to choose evil, to battle for virtue is hard. It is a struggle. To improve is difficult. To break old destructive habits is not easy. It is a challenge. A great German mystic named Meister Eckhart used to impress this fact upon his disciples by telling a parable. He said there was a master who would, every time he would hire a servant, would send him out on a night mission, and then the master would disguise himself, would jump upon his new employee and engage him in battle. And the more strenuously, the more fiercely the new employee fought, the greater was the master's respect. As you go through this year, you will face a variety of challenges and crises. You'll face moments when you are tempted to despair. But our God appreciates our faith and fidelity more the more we struggle to choose what is right, to do that which is edifying, to seek that which is best, highest and best. You're thinking, well, this sermon doesn't really appeal to me. It doesn't really meet to me. I'm a pretty good person. I choose mostly good things. Martin Luther, the theologian, said, I fear my good acts more than I fear my bad ones. I fear my good deeds more than I fear my bad ones. Why? Because they tempt me, said Luther, to believe in my own goodness. They tempt me to rest upon my own laurels. One of the most powerful artistic works is an engraving by Albrecht Dürer called The Night, the Devil, and Death. In this engraving, you see this knight on his charger, lance, headed for battle. And you see toads and salamanders and other vile creatures that represents the base passions that could waylay that knight from his calling. But they have no real appeal. But in the background is the knight's castle, representing home, hearth, wife, children, comfort, conviviality. The things that he loves, the things that he relishes, the things he cherishes, are those things that could draw him from his mission, could undermine him on his pilgrimage. Could it be that we, in our good things, in our great passions, in our enjoyment of our blessings, have become a little too complacent? Have allowed God's goodness to obscure the one who is the origin of our goodness? To battle for right, to struggle for that which is best, is a struggle. At times it is a spiritual warfare. And Jesus warns us of that and of our need of God's strength when he teaches us to pray, "Lead us not into temptation." Martin Luther, the great theologian, had some wonderful advice how to end each day and how to begin it. It's pretty good advice to end one year and to begin another. He said, "When you go to bed at night, pray the fifth petition of our Lord. Lord, may I forgive my debtors as you forgive and you forgive my debts. Forgive my debtors as I forgive those who have trespassed against me." But when I wake up in the morning, said Luther, "When I wake up in the morning, let me pray the sixth petition of our Lord. Lead me not into temptation." That's a prayer of awareness. That to choose good sometimes is a battle. It's a prayer of sensitivity. That we need God's strength to sustain us. It is a prayer of awareness that there are pitfalls on the pathway to righteousness and faith. But it is a prayer that connects us to the sustaining strength of God as we go about each day, seeking to find and to be faithful to his guiding light. Lead us not into temptation, but deliver us from evil. May we pray together. God of grace and goodness, as we enter this new year, may our prayer be indeed that you lead us into those tests and trials with an awareness of your sustaining strength, that we lean not upon our own understanding, that we're not blinded by even our warmest affections, but may our focus be upon your call and our dependence upon your power. Through our Lord Jesus Christ we pray. Amen. On this new year, this first Sunday of a new year, what a better opportunity to answer the call of God, to claim Christ as Savior and Lord, to begin your New Year's resolution by coming and splicing your life into the life of our church by transfer of letter or by statement. Come, be community with us. Embrace us as we embrace you. Come as we stand to sing together.